Well, I want to greet you all in Jesus' name. I'm excited to be up here. I'm really excited about this subject. We're going to talk today about angels, God's ministers. And my grandma, she died when she was 90 years old about a year ago. And in her latter years, she would continually talk about the angels. And she would continually talk about the angels being in the room with her. And it just was really inspiring. Whenever we would leave her to go somewhere, we would say, you know, are you going to be lonely? And, oh no, I won't be lonely. God's with me. The angels are right with me. And that was just so amazing to me how she had such a reality in her mind. And I was thinking, let's turn over to Hebrews to get our key verse here. I'm going to start reading in verse 1, and then we'll end up at the end of the chapter there. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then in the end of the chapter, verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's our key verse. We're going to talk about angels, God's ministers. And I don't know if you can picture yourself back with Elisha and his servant as they faced this army of the Syrians coming against them. And the servant said, my Lord Elisha, what shall we do? And Elisha said, there are more with us than are with them. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the whole mountains full of chariots and horses of fire. And I just pray God can open our eyes a little bit to see past our temporal world and see the spiritual world. I want to paint a little picture for you as we think about this. If you can come away from your humdrum life, your situations you face, your discouragements or your effort and your labor and your work and the things you face. Just come away for a minute. And let's go up to heaven, and let's see. We can never see that with our temporal eyes, but maybe with the eyes of our heart, we can see God the Father sitting on his throne. We can see the Lord Jesus sitting at his right hand. We can see the 24 elders worshiping and falling before their faces. And then we can see this huge host of angels around the throne. I mean, it's enormous. If you read there in Revelation, I'm not going to tell you how many right now, but I'm going to, there is a huge amount of angels that are around God's throne worshiping him. And if you can picture with me, these angels standing at the attention of God. If you could picture them waiting for the commands of God. They don't have their own will. They don't have their own mind. They are not going to do their own thing. They are waiting attentively to do whatever God wants them to do. And God says, I have a brother in China that's needing help. Angel, go instantly. That angel follows God's command. We have a sister in Paraguay that's having problems. She's discouraged. Please go. Bring encouragement. Instantly, the angel does what God wants him to. We have two children that are lost in Belize, out in the forest. Angel, go and guard them. Bam, that angel goes and does God's bidding. So I'm excited about that. Just to think about this awesome thing. How many of you have ever seen this book? True Angel Stories by Vera Overholt. Last winter we read that, and ever since that, it's just been burning in my mind, this subject. There is, of course, a short story, maybe you've heard it, of this Belizean woman named Katrina. Have you ever heard of that? And her daughter? Anyway, they got lost in the forest, and while she went to get help, they came back to help, and they couldn't find the children. So they were praying, you know, where are these children? And all of a sudden they heard a man's voice out in the forest saying, they're over here. And this seems strange that a man would be out there. And so they kept coming closer, and the closer they came, the man kept saying, they're over here, they're over here. And when they came about within sight of the children, the voice left, and all they heard is the children's voice. They said, who was here helping you? They said, well, no one was here. Well, someone had to be there. We heard him. And that was a messenger from God that we're talking about. There's another short story I want to tell you before we get into looking at scriptures. This is found, this happened in I think it was Guatemala. There's this poor man named Bartolo, and the guerrillas were invading the area and were trying to force everyone to join their gang, and he was a Christian, and he did not want to join the guerrillas gang to fight. And I'll read just a short thing here. It says, later in the same town lived poor Bartolo. First, the guerrillas came to his home, trying to coerce him to join their gang. When Bartolo refused, the guerrillas threatened to return in 15 days. Exactly 15 days later, Bartolo's family had gone to bed when angry shouts and stones pelted the tin roof, announcing the terrorists had returned. While Bartolo's family cried out to God in their hut, Bartolo went out to face the terrorists. A gunshot blasted the night, and Bartolo collapsed to the ground. He felt no pain, but felt blood pouring out of the wound in his head, down over his face. Looking up, Bartolo saw angels hovering above him. Have angels come to carry me to heaven? He wondered. Again, a terrorist raised his gun, and Bartolo braced for the fatal shot. Sensing someone kneeling at his side, he turned to see a man in the whitest robe who spoke softly. Son, do not fear, because I'm with you. You are blessed because you are doing my will. The gunshot boomed, echoing through the village as Bartolo saw Jesus blowing away the pellets from the hand-loaded shell. Screaming in fright, the terrorist vanished, disappearing into the night. Minutes later, Bartolo knocked on the door of his house, calling for his wife to open. Jesus carried me, he told her. Quite a stirring story. Now, I want to give a few explanations to this message, and I want to give a few disclaimers. Like I said, this message has been on my heart for better part of a year, and my goals and desires by this message is from some own questions I had in my own heart, like what are the role of the good angels? What work do they do? What do they accomplish? Things like that. And some disclaimers is angels are created. They're not all powerful. And they only follow the will of God. They follow what God wants them to do. They don't have their own agenda. They're completely subject to God. And they follow God's direction. This message, we're going to talk a lot about angels, but I want to turn our focus on the Creator, the one who created the angels, and on glorifying Him for His wonderful work that He does through the angels. I want Him to be lifted up. As we look at this, there's one angel in the Bible that had the power to kill 185,000 men. Just one angel. And I'm going to ask the question a little bit later, how many angels that the Bible tells us, at least the minimum amount of angels that are up in heaven. Jesus, when he was being captured, he could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him, but he didn't. Another disclaimer is, this message is not to guarantee that you're always going to be delivered. Maybe God's will is to take you to heaven. So I'm not going to guarantee that every time you're in trouble, angels are going to save you out of your trouble, because maybe your salvation is going to be eternal instead of just here on the earth. I'm not going to guarantee you that every time you face danger that it's going to be physical deliverance. It might be a different kind of deliverance. But I do guarantee that whatever God's will is, that's what's going to happen. Okay, let's look at our outline. I want to, number one, look at definitions, simply try to get a bigger picture of what the definitions of an angel and what they do. Number two, we're going to look at some questions about angels. Number three, we'll look at angels in the Bible. Number four, we're going to look at angels in our modern times. And number five, we're going to look at angels worshiping Jesus. Okay, let's look at number one, our definitions. The word angel is found about 300 times in the Bible. It comes from the Greek angelos. And maybe you've heard of the city called Los Angeles. In Spanish, that means the angels. Los Angeles. It simply means to bring tidings, a messenger, especially by implication, a pastor, translated angel, messenger. In Hebrew, the word is malach, meaning to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger specifically of God. It also can be translated ambassador or a messenger. That word that's translated angel can also be translated ambassador or messenger. In the Webster's Dictionary, it simply means a messenger to tell or announce, to speak or to tell. Literally, a messenger, one employed to communicate news or information from one person to another at a distance, but appropriately. A spirit or a spiritual intelligent being employed by God to communicate His will to man. Hence, angels are ministers of God and ministering spirits. Comes from Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I looked it up in Wikipedia, see what that has to say. An angel, this is a little more of a secular analysis. An angel is a supernatural spiritual being who is God's servant. Abrahamic religions often depict angels as benevolent celestial intermediaries between God and humanity. Other roles include protectors and guides for humans and servants of God. There are different kinds of angels. with specific names. We have record of Gabriel and Michael as two specific names for what they call archangels. We have other titles such as a seraph, seraphim, or a cherubim, archangels. Angels in artwork are usually shaped like humans of extraordinary beauty. They are often identified in Christian artwork with bird wings, halos, and divine light. Sort of a secular viewpoint. But let's look at some questions about angels. Have you ever wondered in your mind some questions about angels? Maybe you've wished you could meet one, or maybe wondered how it would be. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. In the Bible we'll find, and also in our modern times, that most or a lot of the meetings of angels or God's messengers have actually been people that look just like a common person. But God had sent them on a mission. Question number one, how many angels are in heaven? You can find that in Revelation 5, verse 11. And I won't tell you, but at the end of the message, I'll come back to that. How many angels are in heaven? If I can't see angels, are they really real? How much power does an angel have? Are angels all-knowing? Can they know what I'm thinking? 1 Corinthians 11:10 could give you a clue on that one. Do children really have guardian angels? Matthew 18:10. Do angels have personalities? Can they express emotions? Luke 15:10. That these are all references to give you a clue. How many angels are 12 legions? When Jesus said he could have called 12 legions, how many angels was that? How do angels travel from one place to the next? Do angels have wings? You can find a clue in Isaiah 6. Do angels eat food? You can find a clue in Judges 6, verse 11 to 21. What is the angel's job? What work do they do? You can find that in Matthew 18:10. Do angels have a conscience, a will, or a personal choice? You can get a clue for that in Jude, verse 6. And so forth. So, these are some stimulating questions. Hopefully we could find some answers in the Bible about it. Okay, we'll come back to those later. Let's look at angels in the Bible. I'm going to go from Genesis and move on through the Bible, just looking at examples of people encountering angels. And like I said already, you'll notice that most of the times, the angels just looked like a common man. They just looked like once the person met them, they knew something was different. But just at first sight, they looked like a human. Okay, Genesis 3:24. Here we have the cherubims guarding the Garden of Eden to keep the way of the tree of life. In Genesis 16:7-11, we see Hagar as she ran away from her mistress, and she's out there in the wilderness, and an angel of the Lord found her and said, "What are you doing out here?" And he gave her instructions to go back and submit yourself to your mistress. We have Genesis 18, the story of Abraham and his three visitors. Here it appears like he was just being obeying the Bible, not being forgetful to entertain strangers, and it ended up to be very special strangers. We have Genesis 19, verse 1. We have the two angels, as they left Abraham, they came to Sodom, and Lot invited him into his house. I don't know that he knew they were angels either. He hadn't been with Abraham, hadn't heard that conversation, and so he invited him in. He was also had hospitality there, and quite some things happened there. They ended up smiting the men with blindness, and amazing story. Genesis 21:17, Hagar again leaves, and the angel of the Lord called to her and said, "Hagar, what are you doing?" And she had fled. She had been sent away this time. And he said, he showed her this well of water, that she got the water and gave her son drink. We have Genesis 22. We have Abraham going up to Mount Moriah to offer his son according to God's command. And as he was just ready to obey God's command and offer his son, the angel said, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not your hand upon the child, on the lad." Genesis 24, verse 40 says, that whole story about Abraham sending his servant to get a wife for Isaac. And he said, "The angel of the Lord is going to go before you and direct your way." What a wonderful way to find a wife, having God's direction. We have in Genesis 28, we have Jacob. He also was going to do the same thing. He was sent by his parents to Laban to, I'm not sure, I think find a wife. And he sees this ladder going from earth to heaven with the angels of God ascending and descending. And that experience changed his life. Then we again see in Genesis 32, Jacob had spent his 20 years in Laban serving him and all his trials and hardships and things he went through. And then it says the angels of God met him. And we see him wrestling with that angel. And the angel touched the hollow of his thigh, and he had a limp for the rest of his life. It appears that way. We have Genesis 37:15. We see Joseph as he was sent by his father to find his brothers. And he thought they were in, I think, Shechem, but he went there and his brothers weren't there. And so he was wandering through the field and trying to find his brothers. And this certain man met him. And he gave him direction where to go. Could have been an angel. We have Genesis 48. Jacob is an old man now, and he has been guided by God's angels throughout his life. And now he has Joseph's sons in front of him. And he says, "The angel which redeemed me from all adversity, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them." Beautiful picture of a 147-year-old man blessing these lads. Okay, then we have in Exodus, we have the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the bush. And the bush burned with fire, but it did not burn up. We have in, why don't we turn over in our Bibles to Numbers 22. I'm going to read this story. This is the story of Balaam encountering an angel of the Lord. Numbers 22, we'll start in verse 21. Now this is, it could almost be a hilarious story, but it's a very sobering story. That Balaam was, it's a good example of what can happen to a stubborn person. Someone who's bent on their own ways, won't listen to any counsel. They're just going to continue running against it and running against it. Okay, Numbers 22. I'm going to read a few verses here. Verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he, Balaam, went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam rose, smote the ass, and to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And he smote the ass with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, and I would, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, which upon thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord. And he fell flat on his face. The situation keeps getting worse. If you're going to be stubborn, if you're going to be thick-headed, if you're not going to listen to God's instruction, God's counsel, things are just going to get worse, going to get harder for you. First, he could turn off in the field to get away from the pressure God was putting on him. And next, it got a little tighter and his foot got hurt. And the next time, you just can't keep going. This dumb old beast fell right down underneath of him. And then God opened his eyes where he could see the spiritual world, see what was actually going on. Let's not be stubborn. Judges 2, we see the angel of the Lord coming to invoke him and reproving the people for disobeying God. Let's turn over to Judges chapter 6. Read a little story there about Gideon. Here we have Gideon. He is in a very hard situation. The Midianites were oppressing the people of God. They were coming out and spoiling maybe something like what's happening in Ukraine, where you just can't get anywhere. People are coming and stealing your food and destroying your land. And Gideon was threshing some wheat in this wine press to hide it, to try to conserve his little amount of food he had. And you also see Gideon was a very humble, very poor man. And it seems like God, that's where God sends his angels to, is to the humble, the poor people, the ones that are in need and have need of help. Let's read a few verses. Chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an offer that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Here we see an angel of God that came to Gideon with a specific message. He came to encourage him to step out and trust the Lord to overcome the enemy. In Judges 13, we have another story about Manoah. We have this angel appeared to Manoah's wife and gave her instructions, or he told her they're going to have a son. And then later, he appeared to her again in the field. She went and got her husband, and the angel gave them specific instructions of what they should do to train this child. 2 Samuel 24. We have the angel of the Lord that was bringing judgment upon Israel for David's disobedience. And the angel of the Lord came and was going to destroy Jerusalem. And then David offered up that offering in the threshing floor. And then God said to the angel, "Don't destroy it. Stay your hand." Let's turn over to 1 Kings 19. Here we have a very inspiring story of Elijah. If you ever want to read adventure stories, just read about Elijah. He was in them all the time as he served the Lord. 1 Kings 18 is where we have the great showdown on Mount Carmel. And Elijah just worked really hard. In case you should read the story. He really worked hard that day. He spent all day watching the prophets of Baal dance around, and he was mocking them. And I'm sure that took a lot of energy. And then he built the altar of the Lord. He repaired it. And then somehow they went and got lots of water to pour on the sacrifice, and he put the bullock and got the sacrifice ready, and then he prayed to God, and the fire comes down and consumes the altar. And the first thing he says is, "Get the prophets of Baal. Let's destroy them." So he was instrumental in destroying 850 prophets of Baal. You don't think that took a lot of energy? And then, if that wasn't good enough, he went up on Mount Carmel and he prayed to God earnestly that it would rain. And he saw this little cloud, like a man's hand, coming. He told his servant, "Tell Ahab, get in your chariot." And so the Spirit of God came on Elijah and he ran over 20 miles in front of that chariot. You don't think that was a lot of work? That was some energy being put out. Anyway, we find him in the next chapter, chapter 19. Jezebel had told him, was very furious, very mad, and she told him that he sent a messenger, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I not make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So he turns from having this great victory to running for his life. And I'm sure his physical fatigue played a little bit into that. But he, 19 verse 5, he was sleeping under this tree. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree," verse 5, "behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights." That's amazing. Maybe he ate some angel's food. Amazing. 2 Kings, we have the angel of the Lord telling Elijah to go meet the messengers and tell them what to say. 2 Chronicles 32:21, we have the story I already referred to about the angel of God destroying that whole Assyrian army. It says an angel. One angel. So if you can do your math, if there's, well, I won't tell you yet, but if there's a number of angels that are in heaven times 186,000, that is, I mean, there's no power on earth that can even begin to stand up against God and his angels. Praise the Lord. We have in Daniel, where Daniel was in the lion's den. And the next morning, the king said, "Oh, Daniel, has your God delivered you?" And Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and he shut the lion's mouth so they did not hurt me." We have in Daniel chapter 10, we have Daniel praying and fasting for 3 weeks, just a burden on his heart. And God sent Michael, the archangel, to bring him understanding. In Zechariah, we have an angel talking to Zechariah for about half the book. About the first 6 chapters of Zechariah is a conversation between an angel and him. Then in the New Testament, we have an angel appearing to Joseph in a dream, giving him instructions. He appeared to him a total of 3 times, instructing him to take the child and flee to Egypt. And, well, number one, he first instructed him to take Mary as his wife, and then number 2, to flee to Egypt. Number 3, to come back when it was safe. Now let's turn over to Matthew 28. This gives us another clue to one of our questions. How does an angel look? Matthew 28, verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." These men trying to guard the tomb of Jesus, they were completely powerless. Just one angel. Now, this angel did not appear in plain clothes. He was a bright and shining angel. Luke chapter 1 talks about the angel Gabriel appearing to Zechariah and telling him about him having a son. In Luke, further on in the chapter, we have the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary and telling her about her having a son, the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, we have the angel appearing to the shepherds and announcing the birth of Jesus. And then following that, we see the heavenly host coming and joining that angel to praise and sing praises to God and announce peace on earth, goodwill to men. In Luke 22, we have Jesus agonizing in the garden. He had the weight of the whole world, sins of the whole world coming upon him. And he was sweating drops of blood. And he was praying and having this burden upon him. And then we see an angel from heaven coming and strengthening him. John 5 talks about an angel coming down and troubling the waters, and whoever got in first would get healed. In Acts 5, verse 19 and 20, we have the angel of the Lord coming and opening up the prison doors and giving them instructions to go back to the temple and preach the gospel. In Acts 10, we see Cornelius, a just man. He was praying and seeking God. He was asking the Lord. He was reading, I believe he was reading the scriptures, and he was seeking God. And an angel of God appeared to him in a vision and gave him instructions to send for Peter to come to tell him the gospel. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 12. Read the story about Peter. I can just imagine that was an exciting assignment from God for that angel that night. God says, "Angel, you see that church praying down there? I want you to go and release Peter." That angel is right there in the prison instantly. And he taps Peter on the side, "Wake up. It's time to go." Peter's like, "Oh, okay." So he gets up, the chains fall off his hands and his feet, and they walk out. All the doors open up, and wow, what an exciting story. They come to the house where they were praying. "This is Peter." "What do you mean, Peter? He's still in prison." "Open up, this is Peter." "Oh, Peter." Peter says, "God sent his angel and brought me out of prison." Acts 27, we see Apostle Paul as they just were in that horrible storm. The wind beating in the ship, and it's rocking back and forth, and it's so bad that people can't even eat. They're, let's say, 14 days. Can't sleep right, can't eat right. Desperate situation in this terrible storm. And Paul stands up, Acts 27:23, and he said to everyone, he said, "Sirs," he said, "fear not. For," he said, "an angel of God stood by me this night and strengthened me and said, God's going to give you all these people and none of them will die." What an encouragement. Okay, let's look at some angels in our modern times. I have to keep moving here. We already talked about that verse about being not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now, some in our day today, we have a lot of dangerous people out there, a lot of people that are looking to harm people, and maybe picking up hitchhikers isn't like it was 50 years ago. So I want to bring a caution there, but the Bible still says not to forget to entertain strangers. So if God directs you to do that, that's a good thing. I'm going to read a couple stories out of this book. The first story I'm going to read is called Stranded. We were camping in Baja California, Mexico, in the summer of 1989 and needed to go into the town of Santa Rosila for supplies. On the way there, to my dismay and fear, we ran out of gas. "Stay with the car and I will walk into town," my husband said to me. I was afraid of all sorts of things, and I decided to climb to the nearby mountain a short distance to watch the car from there. I was incredibly hot, and I had no water. Feeling vulnerable and helpless, I started praying, and suddenly I heard a car. It was a dune buggy, stopped to give my husband a ride. As I watched from a distance, I really hoped some of the things we had heard about Mexico were not true. There was nothing I could do but wait. I tried to find some shade as it was getting even hotter. I lay in a sand lagoon and dozed off, trying to preserve my energy and not to get too thirsty. After a while, my thirst hit hard and I really started bothering me. I tried not to think about it. Suddenly, a woman appeared in very old, dark clothes. They have to be hot, I thought. She had a whole gallon of water and said to me, "Drink." So I drank a little bit and noted the water tasted slightly salty. She said again very urgently, "You must drink more, more." So I did, and again she did not think it was enough and urged me to drink again. I thanked her and said, "Look, you need your water, so don't give it all to me." She just nodded and left without saying anything more. As I sat there, I began to think, I don't see any houses. So I got up to look. As far as the eye could see, there were none. And then I noted there were no footsteps or any other traces of someone walking. I wanted to see which way the old woman walked in case I needed more help, but I couldn't see anything. Where had she disappeared so quickly? Then she thought that it probably was an angel from God. There's another story, I'll just tell it, about this young man that was praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, and he went to this junkyard to get a part, and he tried and tried for half an hour to get this part loose, and it just wasn't coming. So he prayed, "Oh God, help me, I can't get this loose," and suddenly a man appeared and told him how to pry it off. And it came right away, and he turned around to thank the man, and he was gone. Amazing. Now as we think about angels in our modern times, this is not only 3,000 years ago. This is actual things that God has sent his ministers, his messengers, to help people even in our lifetime. I'm going to read just a little story called The Missionary's Defense. Now, there have been very many missionaries and people that have got killed for their faith. So that, God does allow that. But there are situations where God does protect. Here's a man that went to a very, very dangerous tribe in, I think it was India. And these people were called the Bhattas. And these Bhattas were extremely fierce people. They were headhunting and cannibals, and they were demon-possessed people. And I'll just sort of abbreviate the story. And they, first when they came there, they felt this heavy oppression from Satan upon them. And so they would, in the middle of the night, they would pray. They would have to get up and pray just to get relief from this. And this went on for weeks and months. And finally, they just left the area and they went to a different area. And one day, one of the tribe's people from that tribe came back and started talking to him. And I'll read a little bit here. And this man said, "Now, Tuan," he said, "I have yet one request." "And what is that?" "I should like to look at your watchman close at hand." "What watchman do you mean? I do not have any. I mean the watchman whom you station around your house at night to protect you." "But I have no watchman," I said. Then the man looked at me and said, "Oh, do not try to make me believe that you do not have watchmen, for I know better." Then he asked, "May I look through your house to see if they are hiding there?" "Yes, certainly," I said. "Look through it, you will not find anybody." So he went in and searched in every corner, even through the beds, but could not find any watchmen. Then I began a little probing and requested him to tell me the circumstances about those watchmen of whom he spoke. And this is what he said. "When you first came to us, Tuan, we were very angry at you. We did not want you to live among us. Therefore, we came together and resolved to kill you and your wife. We came to your house night after night. But when we came near, there stood always close around your house a double row of watchmen with glittering weapons. And we did not venture to attack you, to attack them to get into your house. But we were not willing to abandon our plans, so we went to a professional assassin, someone who kills people for a living. And we asked him to do away with you. He laughed and he said, oh, that won't be a problem. I don't fear God. I don't fear man. I'll do that. So we came all together in the evening, and the assassin, swinging his weapons about his head, went courageously on before us. As we neared your house, Mr. Tuan, we remained behind and let him go alone. But in a short time, he came running back hastily and said, no, I dare not risk it to go through alone. Two rows of big, strong men stand there, very close together, shoulder to shoulder, and their weapons shine like fire. Then we gave it up to kill you. But now, tell me, Tuan, who are your watchmen? Have you never seen them? No, I've never seen them. And your wife, did she not see them? No, my wife didn't see them. Then he went on to share the gospel with that man. That's an awesome story. I need to move on here. A few more stories. You've heard of angels over Waslala. People seeing angels there. I have to think of something that happened in my life back in when I was in my low 20s. While we were, we had come back from leadership seminar and we're driving through northern PA, and my father was driving with ahead with a vehicle we had gotten, and I was trying to keep up with him, and we hit the snow belt, and all of a sudden there was snow except for the wheel tracks and slush and going 70 miles an hour, and I was trying to keep up with him, trying to keep this car in the wheel tracks, and all of a sudden, I felt the car going, and I thought, oh, God, help me, and this car swung around and till I was aiming backwards, and I literally felt like someone was steering that wheel. I think it was God's angel, and we swung around and then came swinging back forward and almost hit the guardrail, and I never hit the brake, never hit the clutch, never shifted, and slowed down to 35 and got back on the road and kept going. And I just think that was God's angel. Okay, let's look at our last point in closing. Let's look at how the angels worship Jesus. Like I said before, the angels, they're just God's ministers. The angels are not beings to worship or to give glory to. They are simply God's messengers. They are simply on a mission to accomplish God's will. They are simply sent by God to bring instructions. They are simply waiting attentively in God's presence for assignments that God gives. In Psalm 103:20, it says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his. In Psalm 148, we have, praise ye him, all his angels. And then in Revelation, let's turn over there, Revelation 7. Here we have 7 verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and tongues and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and they fell on their faces and worshiped God. What a beautiful picture. Now let's look at a few of our questions real quickly. Have any of you figured out how many angels are in heaven? How many? If you go 10,000 times 10,000, not every calculator can fit that number. That's 100 million. 100 million angels. And that's probably the minimum number. Just imagine, Jesus could have called 72,000 angels to help him, 12 legions. That's just a very small fraction of the 100 million. Isn't that awesome? That is totally amazing. Another question, do you think angels are real? I should have asked you that before the message. I think we believe they're real. We see them in God's word and in our day to day. How much power does an angel have? We already talked about that. Are angels all knowing? I don't think they are. 1 Corinthians says that a woman should wear power on her head because of the angels. The angels can't see your heart, but they can see a sign on your head. I think that's what it's meaning. Could have more discussion about that later. Do angels have personalities? It talks in Luke about the angels having joy when a sinner repents. How do angels travel? Well, we find that these men that visited Abraham, they walked. So they, when they're in the form of a man, they can walk. And then it also talks about, in Revelation, about an angel flying. So angels can fly, they can walk. It's sort of nice to do that sometimes. Do angels have wings? Isaiah 6 talks about the seraphims having three sets of wings. Do angels have a conscience? In Jude, it talks about the angels which kept not their first estate. So it seems like at one point the angels had a choice. But now they are destined to their destiny, good or bad. What is the angel's job? I think we already talked about that. It talks in Matthew, they always behold the face of my Father. That is amazing. 100 million, 100 million, the host of the Lord, beholding always the face of God, ready at a second's notice, at the blinking of an eye, to fulfill his will upon the earth. That is so amazing. So amazing. I'll close with that, and hopefully you can be encouraged thinking about angels, God's ministers. Think about that host of God that's praising him, and how we're called to join them every day of our lives. Lord bless you.